Jesus and the Samaritan woman are brought together by a shared human need. He is tired and thirsty. She's come to draw water. It's the sixth hour, noon, the hottest part of the day. It's the meeting of a man and a woman, persons who are different and yet complementary, with the interest and potential that always accompany such meetings. The shared human need for water opens the conversation. His request for a drink breaks a number of taboos. Man and woman talking alone. Jew and Samaritan sharing the same cup. How is it that a Jew asks me, a Samaritan, for a drink? Pope Francis, in his encyclical letter on preaching, says that Jesus breaks through the dull categories with which we would enclose him and constantly amazes us by his divine creativity. We see this divine creativity immediately as Jesus shifts the conversation to a deeper level. If you knew the gift of God, he says, and who is asking, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. He's speaking immediately of the Blessed Trinity and the communion in the divine life which he has come to share with human beings. But he doesn't immediately use that theological language or anything like it. For now the Spirit is the gift of God, living water, and the Eternal Son is the one who is asking. The encounter remains simply human, even while it radiates, it begins to radiate with a transcendent meaning. The woman is practical and wonders how he'll get this living water to her since he has no bucket and the well is deep. Are you greater than Jacob, our father? The newness of the gospel is always set within the framework of God's earlier deeds, and in fact comes from the same sources. Here the woman establishes common ground with Jesus through remembering Jacob, a father older than the division between Jews and Samaritans. Jesus explains that the living water he is speaking about is within, a spring within the person, welling up to eternal life. The woman, for the moment, resists the charms of this mystical poet and answers, perhaps with a touch of sarcasm, "So give me this water you're talking about so that I will not thirst again and will not need to come here either." There's another shift of gear, and Jesus challenges her in a different way. He mentions her husband. She says she has none. He says she's right because she's had five. "So you're not just a poet," she seems to say. "I see that you are a prophet. Is it a question of religious differences now?" Perhaps she's offended that he's criticizing polygamy, which seems to have been permissible among the Samaritans. "To this day, the Samaritans worship on Mount Gerizim," she says, "the Jews on Mount Zion." He seems to have introduced the question of religious difference, and she reminds him of another aspect of it. Where exactly is it that God wants his people to worship him? Jesus deepens the reflection again. "Woman," he says, it's how he also addresses his mother in John chapter 2 and John chapter 19. "Woman, the hour is coming when true worship will be neither here nor there, but will be a worship of the Father in spirit and in truth." The woman seems to have had enough. It's as if she's saying, "Whatever about all that, I know that when the Messiah comes, he will show us all things." And Jesus reveals to her that it is he who is speaking to her. She leaves her jar. She goes back to the city. She becomes a preacher of the gospel. Many Samaritans came to believe in him, we're told, because of the woman's testimony. And many more believed because of Jesus' word, since he who had stopped to have a drink at the well ended up staying with them for 2 days. "We've heard for ourselves," they said, "and we know that this is indeed the Saviour of the world." Pope Francis quotes Pope Benedict, saying that the church grows by attraction. Those who preach the gospel, he says, Francis says, should point to a horizon of beauty. This is what will capture and fascinate people, actions and words that have integrity, beauty and holiness. In the encounter between Jesus and the woman of Samaria, we see how it is to be done. They are interested in each other. There is respect and equality from the beginning. There's a mutual knowledge of each one's history and values. Each side speaks the truth they know. We find a conversation that deepens rapidly as Jesus leads the woman towards faith, and her remarks open doors for what he says next. We find Jesus as a teacher of skill and delicacy, using poetic imagery. The teacher must use signs to illustrate his doctrine, asking provocative questions. The teacher must stretch the students with his questions, and we find growing affection, for the teacher must love his students.